Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Lo Yisachmod. And as we explained, according to Shulchan Aruch, according to Bali Halacha, Lo Yisachmod, you're not over simply by having a taiva, by wanting something, by desiring something. For Lo Yisachmod, you have to actually go ahead and you have to pressure the person, pressure the owner, and convince him to sell it to you. Loisis Ave, you're over a bit earlier. Loisis Ave is the thought alone. But even for that, you need to be planning how to convince that person or how to pressure him to get it. Simply the taiva itself, the chemda itself, l'halacha, would not be the Isser of Loisachmud. Certainly a midorah, certainly a midas chasidus, and not a good thing to have a taiva or a chemda. But as far as the lav, as far as whether you're over one of the Aseres HaDibrois, for that you need more. For that you need to actually be trying to obtain the item. Now, because of that, it comes out that Lo Yisachmod is fairly uncommon. Today, most things that you see are mass-produced. So if you see your neighbor has a new car, a new cell phone that you have a chemda for, usually you don't have a chemda, you don't start plotting, how am I going to convince him to sell it to me? Usually you want a new one. So you start planning, how am I going to get the money to go ahead and be able to afford it and be able to buy it for myself? But to have a chemda, to have a taiva, to start plotting and scheming how you're going to get this from him, that is fairly uncommon. Where it comes up is, I think there are three cases where it can come up. The first is if you're dealing with something which is one of a kind, a person collects art or Judaica or something like that. So there you don't have the option of going somewhere else. So if you want it badly and he has it, there you're running a very strong risk of Lo Yisachmod and Lo Yisachmod. The second case, a little bit of a less formal, is if one of your kids comes home from school, they had a siyum and they have a can of soda or a nash, and his sibling sees it and wants it. So there, it's true, you could go to the store, but the child is not about to run to the store and go buy something. It's a lot easier to start pestering his older brother. Can I have a sip? Can you give it to me? Now, in such a case, if the older sibling does not willingly give it, and you nudge and you nudge and you nudge, so that is a lav d'oraisa of Lo Yisachmod. So the next time your children are whining and fighting, tell them they can't. The last case, and which is probably the most common, at least in a commercial setting, is real estate. A person has his heart set out, he wants this house, he wants this building. So in real estate, it's location, location, location. So here, there's a very big nisayon for a person to have a taiva and a chemda to be harassing or pressuring the owner to sell it to him. And here you have to be very careful, because here you run the very real risk of being over Lo Yisachmod and Lo Yisachmod. Now, a very common example of this is that a few short years ago, the real estate market was booming. I don't know if anybody remembers still. But in those days, in the good old days, at least in Lakewood, it's a growing community, there was a tremendous demand. People wanted to buy houses, and there was a very, 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 very limited supply. So many people were going around not in neighborhoods and just knocking, going from door to door, knocking on people's doors, would you like to sell your house? Now, as we learned, if you knock on the door, ask them if they want to sell their house, and they say yes, great, that's not Lo Yisachmod. But if they say no, and you knock again, and they slam the door and you shut in your face, and you knock again, and you're pestering them, that is Lo Yisachmod. And if you're Matzliach, if you end up buying it, that is Lo Yisachmod. So this at least was a very common scenario. Baruch Hashem, today it's less tempting, doesn't happen as often. But you have to be very careful. That's very likely an issur d'oraisa. Now the problem is, what do you do if you're a real estate broker? If you're a real estate broker, the broker sell you. If one person wants to sell the house, the other person wants to buy a house, you don't need a broker for that. You need a broker. That's the kunz is when the person doesn't want to sell, and you're going to convince him to sell. So l'chayra, every time you do that, every time you're pressuring someone to sell a piece of property, you're running the risk of being over. Lo Yisachmod.
In that case, it's not for you.
Very good. So the Ben Yishchai, the Sefer Rav Brachos, makes that point. He clears the chakira. He says, Leisach ma'idez yelachemda. You have a taiva, you want this thing. What happens if you want it, not because you want it for yourself, you want it for somebody else? So in Rav Brochos, he is mesupik, and he goes back and forth. He doesn't have a clear psak. But in Ben Yehoyada, in Kedushin Daf Nun Tes, he brings a raya that there will not be Leisach ma'id. For Leisach ma'id, you need, you have a chemda, you have this desire, you have this lust for the item you can't control. If you're just doing it for someone else, you're just buying it for someone else, that is not chemda, and that wouldn't be awesome. Okay, good. We'll get that in a minute. Now, the Ben Yoyada has a very interesting raya. It'll be a little bit of a chazara of a sugya that we learned, so I'll go through it briefly. His raya is from a sugya of Ani Mahapi Mecharara. For those that remember, that sugya was in Kedushin Daf Nun Tes. Rav Gidl was being Mahapik. He was about to buy a piece of property, and as he was about to close on the deal, Rav Ava came, swept it away, and bought it. So Rav Gidl complained to Rav Yitzchak, who was Rav Abba's Rebbe. Rav Yitzchak said, hold on, wait, when he comes to the Oyle Regel, I'll take care of it. When Rav Abba came, Rav Yitzchak started asking him, Ani Mahapik Becharoro, what's the halacha? Rav Abba said, it's Nikra Rasha, you're not allowed to do that. So Rav Yitzchak turned to him and said, listen, if Ani Mahapik Becharoro is a Rasha, why did you take this property? Rav Gidl was about to buy it. You had no right to come and interfere. And therefore, because you did it be'isser, you should go ahead, you should return the property. Frevde ben Yehoyada, how is Yitzchak allowed to do that? Who owned this property? Rav Abba bought it already. It was his. Fair and square. Rav Yitzchak was trying to do what? He was trying to pressure him to give up the property and give it back to Rav Gidl. Let's ask him. How could he do such a thing? Zavve ben Yehoyada, from here we have a raya that if it's not for yourself, if it's for somebody else, there would be no Isra Lois Achmed. Now this would be a tremendous limitless clause for a broker. If a broker is going ahead and pressuring someone to sell it, he has no desire, he doesn't want it for himself, he's not going to buy it, he's just going to facilitate a sale to a third party. So according to this ben Yehoyada, it would come out, there would be no Isra Lois Achmed. Well, he's not getting the karka. Okay, there are two separate issues. We can talk about the karka, and we can also talk about he's chaymed the seller's money, right? But let's focus now on the karka. Let's, for argument's sake, say that the buyer is giving him a commission, not the seller. We'll simplify matters. But normally, it's loisach mo'i because you're pressuring the owner to give up the land. Here, the Ben Yoyada says, since you don't want that land for yourself, there will be no isser loisach mo'i. Oh, very good. We'll get to that. Very good. So it'll come out. We have a very nice eitzah. Say you're looking for a house, and you want it to be v'dafka right next to the shul. There's nothing available. So you know, if you go knock on the next door neighbor's door and you drive him crazy, you're going to be over in Yisrael Lezachmer. So instead, what do? You call a real estate broker. A broker is a professional nundik. And he goes ahead and he drives the person crazy. According to the Ben Yehoyada, l'chayra, the broker's not doing it for himself. You're not doing anything. L'chari, there's no Lois Achmed. Oh, excellent, excellent. So L'chari, this is a mistake. Because when the broker goes ahead and drives the person crazy, so it's true, the broker's not doing it for himself, he's not over Lois Achmed. Now, as far as you're concerned, you sent him. L'chari, we have Einish Le'echad V'Aravera. You're not responsible for what the broker did. But that's not true. Because we learned in the Rambam last week, that the Isra of Lois Achmed, the Pshat of Lois Achmed is not that the Maisa, the act of being a Nudnik is Lois Achmed. No, there's no Isra to be a Nudnik. I mean, it's not a nice thing. Now, if you have to Recha, but Lois Achmed is not being a Nudnik. Lois Achmed is having such an uncontrollable Chemda that you go ahead and you do what it takes and pressure the person to sell you this item. In this case, you have that Chemda, but the way you applied the pressure was Hichbet Alavrayim. You send the agent to do it. So even without a din of shlichus or shliach l'dvar avera, that's not negeya. Since you had that chemda, and the way you plotted, the way you schemed to get it against his will is to sick this agent who's a pit bull, and he's going to get it. So there, the buyer in that case will be over an isser of Lois Achmed.
That's only if you put him up.
Correct. If you're looking for a house, and you tell the broker, listen, I'm looking for a house, very innocently. And on his own, he decides, you don't know that this person's a pit bull, and he drives someone crazy. He's not acting on your behalf. You're not being hichbet alav reyim. So there, clearly there'll be no los achmud. But if you tell the person, you go get this piece of land for me, and the only way for him to do that is to pressure the person, so that's hichbud al avrayim. That's how you were able to be over the isur los achmud.
Does it make a difference if the broker takes possession of the property himself?
Possibly. It's a good, if he takes it for himself, do you still have the ben yoyada's heter? Right. In that case, I don't know. I would suspect in that case, even though you're not using it, you're buying it because you want to have it because you want schara to sell. Just like a sada is something which you use for business. It's not something which is, you don't need that, it's for personal use. So I would be noted to say there is lo sachmoy, but I hear the taina. You know, as it comes out, we have a makar for a flipper. Comes out, if you're flipping the karka, you're just flipping the contract, you're never taking possession. So then we have a ben yohayado that says, since you're never taking it, there's no leis achmud. If you're going to buy it and then later on you'll resell it, then I don't know. Then perhaps there is leis achmud, but again, I can hear the shayla. So it'll come out. So if the broker that's doing it for someone else has no iser leis achmud, but if you send him to do it, there certainly you would have the iser leis achmud. Now, really, what? Right. So, the case of a sada is you have a farm. It's a business property, and still you see that it's usur. Plenty of people are choymid assets. They want to buy a building. They want to own this building in Manhattan. You see, there's stemmed on such a thing. It doesn't have to be personal hanas aguf. No one else discusses. Ben Yoyad is brought down by some other achroinim. Ben Yoyad is the first one that I know of. So let me go back to your other taina. You were making faces. I saw a few people were making faces when I said over the raya. What's the Ben Yoyad's raya? There's no iser loisachmoid when it's not for yourself. From the case of Animab B'charar. The problem over here is that what's the case? Rav Abba went ahead. He didn't realize Rav Gidl was about to buy it. And he swooped in, he grabbed it away. So when Ben Yoyada's raya is the fact that Rabbi Yitzchak pressured him to give it up, Vayis Oyis says no leis achmed when it's for someone else. Problem is, there's another pshat over there. What happened in that story? Rabbi Yitzchak told him give it up. Why did he tell him to give it up? Because he said you got this b'isa. You had no right to buy the property. So you had no right to buy the property. The correct thing to do is give it back to him. Is that leis achmed? Lisachmid is when you have a taiva for something and you're choymid it, you pressure him to give it. Maisha, over here, l'choyra, where it was bought shaloi kedin, and his Rebbe was giving him musr, telling him, you did the wrong thing, go give it back. L'choyra, that should not be lisachmid regardless, and it's a shvera raya. Now the Ben Yohayadah Mistama learned, and if you remember from Ani Mahapach, there was a discussion, there's a shayla that Ani Mahapach b'shoigig, whether you did anything wrong or not. So the Ben Yohayadah obviously learned, that since Rav Abba had no idea that anyone was interested in the property, what he did was b'shoigeg. Since it was b'shoigeg, there was no iser whatsoever. There was no room to give him musr. And therefore, he brought a raya from here, v'yaseis, there's no iser lo yisachmoid when it's not for yourself. However, you can be doicha the raya according to the poskim that hold that it's an avla. And the truth is it's a mashmoyis of the Gemara because Rav Abba refused to be nene from this piece of property because he felt he somehow did a shloike din, a midas chasidus. So if it's only like that, l'chayra, it's a shver raya. Now this brings us back to a question that we asked last week. We learned in the shiurim 2 weeks ago that by every time you have a partner, if you have a partnership, and one of the partners wants out, he can call a goyd agud. He can tell his partner that the value of the business is $1 million, either you buy me out at this price or I'm buying you out at that price. And he can force the person, he can force to dissolve the shutvas. So one of the svarim asked the kasha, how could you do that? Right now you're partners. You own half the business, he owns half the business. When you're calling a goy d'agud, what are you doing? You're essentially forcing out your partner. And you're going to end up buying his share. L'chayra, that should be leis achmud. It's an ego risk. Oh. So the safer that asks Kasha gives that answer. He says, no. Because by a good agud, you have to give two choices. You have to tell the person, either you buy me out at this price, or I'll buy you out at this price. Since you have either option, you're not being pushing him out, you're just giving him the choice, you're dissolving the partnership, then there would be no lo sachmar. But if that's the hesber, what happens if you know that person doesn't have cash? If he doesn't have cash, you call a guy ugly, you know you're forcing him out. What? No. If the person who calls the goy dagod has to have enough money to buy it. But if I have the cash and you don't, I can call a goy dagod and I can force you to, and essentially I'm going to force you out.
He knows the bar from somewhere else.
Okay, fine. But l'chayr, if you think about it, the whole cash is a mistake again. Why? Because if I bought, let's say I'm a futures trader and I sell an option. I sell someone an option that if he wants, for the next 2 years, he could exercise the option, pay me X amount of dollars, and buy my house. 6 months later, the person calls me up. He wants to exercise the option. I tell him, I don't want to sell it to you. It's mine. He says, no, I have an option. I'm exercising it. So I say, you're over Lois Ahmed. You're forcing me to sell. Is that a taina? Obviously not. I gave you an option. You have a schus mamon to buy my thing. And exercising that right is not chemdo, it's not taiva, it's not forcing or pressuring me to sell against my will. You have that tzvos, you're exercising that tzvos. So the chayre, every shutvis, one of the halachos of shutvim, one of the tzvos and one of the rights of a partner is, he has the right to dissolve the partnership with a goy dagod. Calling a goy dagod is nothing more than exercising an option. Since it's a right that's inherently there in the shutvis, there's no shayla of leisachmoid, and clearly there'd be nothing wrong with doing it, even if you know this is just going to force your partner out. And the Eben Yisrael deals with a case, which is just a tremendous chiddush. You know, Loyalenu, there was a young lady that needed a kidney transplant. Her kidneys didn't work. She had received a transplant from both her father and her mother. Unfortunately, the first one lasted 6 months, the next one 8 months. Her body rejected them. The only match that existed was her brother. Now, as you can imagine, again, she was dying. The only person who was able to save her was her brother. So, the brother wasn't so excited to donate a kidney. The parents were very upset. The parents applied extreme pressure on their son. How can you do this? Your sister is literally dying in front of your eyes. How can you be so cruel? And they were pressuring him to donate the kidney. So the son sent a shaila to the Eben Yisrael, Rishol Yaakov Fisher. And he wanted to know two things. He wanted to know, first of all, Pidin is a person mechuyev to donate a kidney. Second of all, if he's not mechuyev al Pidin, does the father have the right to pressure him? Or is he being over leisachmoid on the kidney? So Eben Yisrael answers. First, he says there's no chiyuv to donate a kidney. He says it's a suffix sakana, and a person is not mechuyev to be nichnas into a suffix sakana to save someone else. Let's put that aside. That's for another shiur. But then, as far as leisachmoid, he says that's a good shaila. You're pressuring the parent is pressuring the son to give a kidney. He's not mechuyev to. Mechuyev that should be an issa d'oraisa. Oh, very good. So zog the Eben Yisrael. It will be mutter based on this yisayid that we just said. What's the Yisrael? Ben Yoyada held what? The leisachmoid is when you want it for yourself. However, if you're just a broker, if you're pressuring him to give it to a third party, there'd be no Yisrael leisachmoid. Therefore, zog the Eben Yisrael. Since if the sister was putting the pressure, give me your kidney, then we can talk about Leis Achmai. But over here, since it wasn't the recipient, it was the parent, it was a third party, they weren't asking for themselves, he says in this case, there would be no shy of Leis Achmai. Okay, that's true. But on Rosh Hashanah, we lay in the parashah with Yishmael, so Hagar said, left because she didn't want to see Yishmael die, so she walked away. She didn't want to see it. One would hope that with a parent, that's their main motivation is so that the child should have it. The Eben Yisrael then continues. He says another chiddush. He says, L'Yisachmoy does not apply to anything which is Sami Min Ha'ayin, something that you don't see. Now the Pshat L'Chayr is that we know L'Yisachmoy Achrei, L'Vavchem Achrei Einechem, that the Einayim Royos, your eyes see it, and the Lev is Choymed, your heart desires it. First you have to see it, and that creates a desire. So that Eben Yisrael understood that to be over L'Yisachmoy, if you make a cold, calculated cheshbon, that it would be best off if I would have this thing, I would, and therefore this would be good for me. It seems that would not be loisachmoy. Loisachmoy needs a chemda, it needs that taiva, it needs that lust. That's only possible on something that you see. Something that you never saw, a kidney which is dabra, something mena ayin, you want it because you realize your daughter's life depends on it. But he says that's not a chemda, it doesn't come from this midura of chemda, and therefore he says it would not be over loisachmoy. Excuse me? Well, the mineral rights, again, what you really want, I would imagine, are the minerals. The minerals are something, you don't see it yet. So like this. I don't think his point is, if you see someone eating a Danish, your mom is getting hungry for the Danish, but he finished eating. So he tells you, by the way, that person over there has it, hidden under his tender. It's partially because it's loisachmoy, even though you don't see it right now. Because the chemda came from the fact that you've seen this type of Danish, you have therefore have a taiva for the Danish. You don't see his, but you've seen that object, and that's why you have the chemda. So mineral rights also, you may not see the minerals that are there right now. I don't know. I've never seen a kidney, and even if you have seen it, it's not where the taiva comes from. It's not because it's nechman leinayim. It's not. It doesn't look so pretty. So in such a case, the Eben Yisrael is mechadish that there would be no iser of loisachmoy. Now another shaila. I don't know. It's just another shaila that comes up is we're holding. It's Kamat Sukkot time. Everyone knows this is the time where you have to buy an esrog. Buying an esrog these days is not so simple. You go, you wait, you push, you handle. And everyone knows at the end of the day, if you don't have protexia, you're not going to get that beautiful esrog. What happens if you walk into the esrog seicha and you see he has his rebbe's esrog? You want to buy it. And he says, no, it's for a rebbe. It's not for you. So you want to pressure him to sell it to you. So there are two shailas. The first shaila is there loisachmoy via mitzvah? And the answer to her is yes. There's no heter. Just because it's a divine mitzvah, the bottom line is if it's his, he wants to use it or he wants to give it to someone else. Theoretically, there should be loisachmoy even though it's a divine mitzvah. But there's another heter here. And that is it'll depend on the case. If this is the esrog that the soicher is keeping for himself, so then it's a simple loisachmoy. He has it, he doesn't want to sell it, you want it, you're applying pressure, there's an issur d'oraisa. Masha'ein kein, what happens if he's a seicher, he's going to sell it. The way he sells it is, he says, yeah, it's for a rebbe. But he's going to sell it to someone, he's going to sell it to, he may have in mind, he wants to sell it to a specific person, but he's not going to keep it for himself. So here there are poskim that say, since he's not keeping it for himself, either way he wants, it's just a question of who he sells it for, to. There's no loisachmoy. Loisachmoy is, when I have it, I don't want to give it up. If when you have this uncontrollable taiva and you force me or pressure me to give it up, that's loisachmoy. But if I do want to give it up, I do want to sell it, it's just a question of to who, and for some reason I don't want to sell it to you. There are a number of places that say, there's no iser of loisachmoy, and it would be mutter. An interesting example of this is the Netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan both say that it says loisachmoy eishes reyacha. What about a pnuya? She's not married. Person hears about a shidduch, he decides this is a great shidduch. He has a shadchan read it, and they say no. So he sends another shadchan, he sends a friend, and he sends a bunch of people to l'choira. This is a shayah of loisachmoy. They said no, they're not interested in the shidduch, and you're applying pressure. So Zok the Netziv and the Aruch HaShulchan, no. Loisachmoy is only by Eishes Reyach. She's married, so they are Chayach and Isser of Loisachmoy. But by a Pnuya, where either way she's going to get married, it's just a question of to who. So for you to start a campaign to convince them that you should be the lucky person, that would not be Lis Achmud. And therefore the same thing would be by an Esrog. If either way the Esrog is going to be sold and it's just a question of to who, there would be no Isser of Lis Achmud. Now there's another interesting application is what happens if you come home tonight, you sit down for supper, there's a knock on your door, and someone there collecting tzedakah. Naturally, in the middle of supper, talk to him for a few minutes, you give him a few dollars. So what happens afterwards? He looks at the check, and he says, "What? This is the check? Last year you gave me more." And you say, "No, this is what I can do this year." And he starts nudging you. L'chayra, this is a shayla of Lis Achmud. You have the money. He wants the money. You don't want to give it to him. He's pressuring you and nudging you to give him that money. L'chayra, this should be an Isser of Lis Achmud. A Dvar Mitzvah. So we mentioned before, but there's no heter of Dvar Mitzvah. Even though it's a Dvar Mitzvah, even though the person wants, but the bottom line is, even though it's an Esrog, if I want to pressure you and to get that Esrog, even though I want it for a Dvar Mitzvah, it would still be Yosef.
He's assuming it's for himself.
Oh, very, very good. If he's just a gabbai, he's collecting for other people, you have the Ben Yehoyada. It's not for himself. There would be no Shaila. So you're also bringing up a good point, and that is it'll really depend on what the situation is. Because like this, Lis Achmud is, you have something, someone wants it from you, they don't have the right to it, so the pressuring you to sell it is an Isser of Lis Achmud. What happens if you have a chiyuv to give up that thing? What would be if it would be so Yaakov Paskin that the brother has a chiyuv to give up the kidney? Would that be usser to now pressure him to do it? Avada not. If he has a chiv to do it, it would be mutal on Bezdin to apply pressure to make him do what his chiv is. It's only because he assumes, he first gives up sack, that you're not mechuyev to give up the kidney, then he says that applying pressure would be a shayla. So it'll come out. It depends what the situation is. If this ani has the right, is an ani where you have a chiyuv of de machsoyre, where you have a chiyuv al pidin to give him more. Now, I don't know who's going to pass in that shayla. The ani l'chayr is in a geb, dover. But if al pidin, you're mechuyiv to give more, and you don't want to, so then for him to pressure you is perfectly okay. The same way a bezdin will be kayf for you, he can also apply pressure and nudge you and try to get you to do your obligations. Masha enkein, if you've given enough, you've been yoytzer your chiyuv, and he wants you to add more to be Moisif, there, l'chayra, you would have a very serious shayla of Lis Achmud. So the one limud zchus that you might have is that also in this Evan Yisrael, he suggests that Lis Achmud is really the shitasa. It has to be when there's a chemda on a specific item. Money, which is something which is not, you don't have a taiva for the money, for this particular money. You just want money and it's not this specific thing. He suggests that it wouldn't be Lis Achmud. It's a chiddush. I don't know. I haven't seen anyone else say it, but there is at least one sad for a limud zchus. So again, by halva, there's in kesef tava, there's more often a chiyuv. But assuming to lend. So like this, there are a number of poskim that say that it applies only when you want to take it for yourself. They're discussing a case of a schiros where it's for rent. Where you pressure him to rent it to you, there they say, since it's going back to him at the end, you're not taking it away from him, it's just temporary, there are a number of Maran Mekoymos that say that it'll be mutter. Now, the Tzedach Tzedek says this as a svara. He says it's hard to be makel on an Isidore Raisa with just a nice svara. But then he says, since anyway, as we discussed last week, the Rambam's a chiddush, Taisvis and the Raivin, many Rishonim held to be overly sachmoid, you have to go ahead and either grab it against his will or not pay him for it. It's the Rambam's chiddush that even if you pay and even if he says okay, there's an isser because you apply pressure. He says, since Roy Paiskim anyway argue, you can be Simon on this Svar al-Lahakal. To add to that, the Be'er Heitiv and the Levush hold that even the Shitas of Rambam is only the Rabbanah. They say Midoy Raisa, the Rambam agrees for Lis Achmud, you have to grab it away. You have to either with Shaloi, where he doesn't say Raitzani, but if he agrees to sell it just because of pressure, the Levush and the Be'er Heitiv say that the Isser is only Midrabanu. The Sma argues, he says it's a Raisa, but again, on Kol Panim, it's another number of shitas to be seivach on to be makel in such a case. Now, there's an interesting story brought down from the Briska Rav that once he was on his way home, and he sees a ganiv breaking into his house, about to steal something. Now, I don't know what the Briska Rav had that was worth stealing, but he was afraid that another yid would have a takala al yadoi, would be nichshal on the yisur of gezel. So he started screaming, "Amafgrit, amafgrit, amafgrit." And this way, the ganiv is not a ganiv, he's taking something min a hefker. So someone there asked him, "Why were you mafgrit? If you're mafgrit, let's say this ganiv runs away, anyone else can take it. It would be a better eitzah to say that I scream at the ganiv, 'I'm giving it to you, b'matana, take it, it's a present.'" Why was he mafgrit? So Briska Rav answered, very simple. Because if I say I'm giving to him b'matana, why am I giving this present to him? Because I like him? Because he's my friend? No, I don't know who he is. I'm giving him the present because he broke into my house. And if I don't quickly give it to him, then he's going to be nichshal with an yisur. So even though if I give it to matan, he'll avoid the yisur leisigazel, but he'll be over the yisur leisachmud. Therefore, his eitzah was he was mafgaret. If it's davar shel hefker, so then when the ganav takes it, it's truly leisachmud. Could be he was over, but leisachmud, he never took it from me. It's hefker. Once it's hefker, he has every right to take it. And this way, he wasn't over an yisur leisachmud. What? That's true, but for the Isser of Chemda, Lois Isave is the Chemda making the plans to get it. That he was over. Lois Isachmed is only when you go ahead, you have a Chemda, and you pressure him to give it to you. But since he never gave it to you, it ended up now going to a third party, Shus Hefker, and he was over from that. So in that case, he said you won't be over in Isser of Lois Achmed.
Is it his
house? What? No, you can be not Bakarchoi. But if you say you don't want it to be yours, it's not kind of al karchai. What? What? Unless it's happened? Well, again, the risk of breaking into the house was the pressure. You can steal it instead. Okay. Truth is, the Rambam anyway says every goslin is over lois achmed. Hitaka says you're over three surim lois. It's av lois achmed and lois exal.
But at this point, the Meicher definitely wants to keep possession of it for a specific reason. Lamashal, let's just say, it's very common. He has a very good client. He wants to keep him as a happy customer. So right now, the guy's away, he's coming back in 3 days. He wants to hold on to it for that reason. So he wants it. He does not, it's not Ayman the Mechira right now.
At okay. This point. If it's not Oymen the Mechira now, but it will be Oymen the Mechira in the future, I hear. If it is Oymen the Mechira, but he doesn't like you, or he has some chesh and why he wants to sell to someone else, there these Marim Mekayim say, since at the end, for Loisachma, you need, again, it's an anaf of Gezel, you need some of the fact that it's taking it away from him. And if either way, right now, he doesn't plan on keeping it, there these places can say there's no Yisr of Loisachma. So just like to end off with a thought. We pointed out last week that in general, midos are not mentioned in the Torah at all. The exception is Lois Achmed. And not only is it mentioned in the Torah, it's in the Aseret, it's one of the Aseret HaDibros. Not only is it just one of the Aseret HaDibros, it's the last of the Aseret HaDibros, which the Goyin writes, the reason why it's the last one is that it's Shokol Keneged Kulam. Now this needs an explanation. Shokol Keneged Kulam, if we need a little reminder, Aseret HaDibros is Anoichi Hashem, Lo Yiyah Lecha Elohim Acherim. These are very serious Yisurim. What does it mean that Lois Achmed is Shokol Keneged Kulam? So Shem Shafal Hirsch says a beautiful thought. He points out that the world needs Chemda and Taiva to exist. You look around, people, they're busy building, creating great fortunes, conquering, inventing. What motivates people? It's the ambition, it's the drive, they want to outdo the next person. And that's what makes the world go round. If people didn't have any taiva or any chemda, they wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. People wouldn't have this drive, they wouldn't have this ambition, and they wouldn't accomplish anything. Zakram Shamsha Fal Hirsch, that's true, and that's always been true. But it was true until Kabbalah Satira. When Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, and they're mekabel the Torah, they're mekabel the Yonoichu lo yiyolucha. So besides for the fact that now they have Taryag mitzvahs, what Klal Yisrael also had is a new system of values. And once they're mekabel the Torah, once they're mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what motivates them is should no longer be to get the bigger, better, or more, but rather what their motivation is to be Noivet Hashem, to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be Isaac and Torah and mitzvahs. The reason why, perhaps, Lois Achmed is not the first of the Aseres HaDibros is that it couldn't be. If you go over to someone and the first rule you give him is Lois Achmed, you're basically telling him drop dead. He has nothing else to live for. It's only after they're makabal the Anoichi and Lo'yilacha, it's only after they're makabal the Olmachos Shemayim and they realize what's chashuv, what's important in life and what isn't, then it's possible to give them a Lois Achmed. And perhaps when we say that Lois Achmed is Shokol Keneged Kulam, I don't think it means if a person has a choice, should I be Mechal Shabbos or should I be Oiver Lois Achmed? It means a person should be Mechal Shabbos. Chas v'shalom. But what it means is that Lois Achmed shows a person where he's standing with all the Aseres HaDibros. If a person has the Anoichin Lo Yelacha, person davens an entire day on Rosh Hashanah, he's mamlech l'Rabbanu Shalom. And then the next day when he sees his neighbor pull up in a brand new Lexus, his heart skips a beat. Then he missed the boat. He may have gone through the motions, but he didn't internalize any of the lessons or any of the values that he got from the mitzvahs. And that's why it's bedafka the last of the Aseres HaDibros. It's only after a person is mekabel completely the all of all the other mitzvahs that we can learn from him the chiyuv and the mitzvah of Lois Achmed. I think perhaps this also is another indication, another reason why it's so important to be learning Chayshin Mishpat. This Chabura for the past year and a half, everyone's given up from their Sunday mornings, which is a time where people like relaxing, it's time people spend with their families. But everyone here has given up their time to be Oisik in Torah, and not just in Torah, to be Oisik in the halachos of Chayshin Mishpat, that are really, to a large degree, it's the bottom line. It's when if you see a person who davens a long Shemayin Esrei, so he's probably Erluch, but he may not be. But if you see a person who's Erluch in business and is medaktik on all the halachos of Chayshin Mishpat, then it's Baduk u'menusa. If he's makbid on this, he probably got everything else right. So he wrote something we should all with the schus of the Torah that we've learned and the hasmada that everyone has put into the limud, should all be zaycha that our tefillos and our tshuva should be nistalba baratzayin, and we should all be zaycha to gemar chasima tovah.